Hi guys, welcome back to This Is Life Unfiltered. I'm your host, Alexa Curtis, and I'm pretty excited because I'm about to hit 50 episodes of this podcast, and I just turned 21 last week, which is a little insane for those of you who didn't know that I am actually was not even 21. And everyone always thinks I'm much older, and now I'm finally 21, and I realize that I feel like I've been 21 for so long. So I don't have all of the like excitement about hitting 21, but I am really excited because between This Is Life Unfiltered being about to hit 50 episodes, as well as Fearless Every Day, that's my show and Radio Disney that's been coming out every week. I've had such great creative feedback from everyone involved, and I've been learning so much along the way. And I'm so happy to have all of you along for this ride with me. So before I get into it, make sure to subscribe to This Is Life Unfiltered. Please write a review so I know who or what you want to see on the podcast or what you'd like me to change. And also, if you're somebody who's listening and wants to be in a future episode, feel free to submit at TILUpodcast.com or follow us on social media at This Is Life Podcast. So today I've got a special guest who reached out, and I have been following her for quite some time, like over 4 years now. Back when I was modeling between ages 14 to 16, I got really obsessed with fitness. I had a pretty terrible eating disorder that I've been quite vocal about. And around that time, SoulCycle and Equinox and all these boutique gyms hadn't actually started yet. So I came across this particular person who's the guest on today's episode, and I had bought her ebook online. This is also before Kayla Itzine started. So she was the only person out there who had this kind of mentality with the HIIT workouts. And I got really into HIIT workouts, and I started traveling with my blog and was able to use her booklet during every time that I would be traveling or in a hotel. And then as I recovered from my eating disorder, as I got older, I still kept her book on file because I really enjoy the HIIT workouts, and I felt like it was such a good workout. And more importantly, I've always loved her really positive and enthusiastic personality. And so today I've got Sophie Gray on, and you might know her from Way of Gray, which is the booklet and the company that I'm talking about. Way of Gray is no longer in business. She's decided to start something new, and it's called Dive Through. So Sophie, thank you for being on This Is Life Unfiltered with me.
Well, thank you for having me. I honestly, when you told me that you had been following me for so long, I fangirled over you because what you are doing with this podcast and with your blog, so inspirational. So thank you.
Oh my gosh, you are so sweet. Well, it's kind of crazy because most of the people who I've had on the podcast so far, I've like met over the past 6 months, or somebody that I've known in the past, but to have somebody on like yourself who like I used to live by your booklet, your workout booklet. And it's incredible to see how you've transitioned over the past years. But I ask every guest at the beginning of every episode, take me back from the beginning. Did you go to college? How old are you now? Where do you live?
Yeah, so I feel like our journeys are going to be quite similar. I know you started super young, and even though I wasn't 12 or 13 when I started, I was newly 18 when I started my channel, when it was then Way of Gray. And when I started, we have very similar journeys because I also was into modeling. So Way of Gray actually started from being my modeling portfolio. So my intention was to share images of ones that I was doing from photo shoots and hope to get a better contract than I had and all of that not so healthy stuff. And from there, when I started sharing the photos, I also started sharing how I was working out, because at the time I was so focused on getting those international measurements, which my body does not want to be shoved into. And when I was obsessively working out, I started to share that and people started to take interest. So things really, for me, it was a snowball effect and took off very quickly. So I did go to school for nutrition and I did take a certification for my personal training. But I feel like what I talk about now is more so from life experience and from Googling. I feel like it's so cool that these days you can literally learn anything you want in the online space and in making your brand and building up this social media empire. I don't like the word empire, but I learned from online. So yeah, when I started, my intention was to share my modeling, and then it turned into fitness, and then it turned into a rebellion of fitness, and now it's landed in a place where I'm sharing this concept of living life connected, being connected to yourself through journaling and introspection, and sharing my life as a person that is no longer in a place where I feel like crap about myself.
I love that. And I love your honesty about it and these topics, because that's what I always really enjoyed about following you when I was suffering with my eating disorder, is that you have this very real and organic and also such a kind way of, you know, talking about these issues. But for those of you who don't know, Sophie has an insane following on social media. She has 346,000 followers that I bet you probably didn't expect to have when you first started this journey.
No, definitely not. It's funny. People ask, oh, like, what is it like to be Instagram famous? And I think that's a hilarious title that I don't necessarily want, because this world that's created through social media is created and is fabricated. And while I'm so fortunate to have the audience in an authentic and engaging way, it definitely... Yeah, it doesn't change your life, you know, like it changes from a career perspective, but it doesn't take away any mental health experiences. And in some instances, and I'm sure you've realized this, it actually can heighten when you have a disordered relationship with food or poor body image. It's heightened when it's to such a larger audience, for sure.
Certainly. And I mean, the fact that it's also like you have to showcase everything about your life, because that's what your following wants. But then on top of that, it's like you're also a real person. And that's what most people don't realize about social media, is that as much as you want to be vocal and honest with your friends and the people who follow you, you're also, you know, always dealing with stuff behind the scenes. But you told me you did go to college, correct?
Went for nutrition, yeah.
And how was that experience for you? Because now people would consider you an influencer, you know, do you even need that college degree? But I guess for your industry and to be taken seriously in health and wellness, it might have been really important for you.
Definitely. When I was in the nutrition space, my nutrition diploma was super beneficial. It gave me that credibility and definitely was helpful. And I think, though, more in the lifestyle space, it's definitely not something that's applicable anymore.
So when you were in college, were you facing any eating issues and body image issues then? Because that's when a lot of young people start to deal with their body image issues and the freshman 15 term goes around. But I'm curious how your experience was.
So my experience with my disordered relationship with food definitely developed when I was 16. So at a younger age, when I was wanting to do the modeling. And then I actually found that going to school for nutrition made it so much worse. I actually recently talked about it, because I found that I turned to nutrition and I turned to that as a career, as a way almost to scare myself away from eating. When I had all this information and all these, this food is good, this food is bad, it really heightened my fear of food and really deepened my disordered relationship with food. So I definitely would say it was not the best experience.
That's interesting that you say that. And I also forgot to mention that I remember when I first started following you, I always thought you were like super, super, super thin. So when I first started following you, I think it was kind of towards the beginning of your career. So I used to, unfortunately, really model my body after yours, because I felt like I really looked up to you and I was so young and vulnerable. So what ages did you suffer with those eating issues?
So I definitely say for me, it was from that 16 until, I'm 23. Oh my gosh, am I 24? Yes, I just turned 24.
Happy birthday.
When you I don't know, 21 is pretty fun, but I feel like 23 and 24 are pretty boring. So I'm like, what am I again? So for me, it was definitely between 16 until 21, 22, when I definitely changed my lifestyle and took a step away from fitness and from nutrition. And I can truthfully say, even now that I have not turned my back, but really that needed revolt, I'm not a person that is super motivated by the way I look anymore. It's still like a relearning. Maybe last week was the first time that I had a milkshake in 7 years, and it was delicious, but there was this mental coaching that needed to happen to still work my way through it and still say that it's okay that I'm having my food. And I think, and I'm not sure if you can relate to this, that sometimes that disordered relationship never completely goes. It just adapts, and you start as a way to you create your own systems to manage it and to keep things in check.
Oh, 100%. And that's not talked about enough with eating disorders or body image issues, is that those issues never go away. And I don't know what it is, why people who talk about their eating disorders don't say that enough, but I mean, you're completely right. If you have an eating disorder, it's very hard to ever fully recover from it. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. It's like, it's a forever journey of just, I don't like the word negotiation, but in this constant conversation. And that's what Dive Through, my app, is all about, to be in conversation with yourself, using journaling to dive through certain experiences. And I definitely, for eating disorders and disordered relationship with food, it is a constant conversation with yourself to find your normal and to find a place where you have that balance.
Certainly. So I'm curious, when you had that milkshake, was there anything specific you said to yourself?
I definitely am coming from a place of, I love food, and reminding myself of that. And I feel like a lot of people that do gain that disordered relationship with food are coming from a place where they really appreciated food. And it was never about overeating for me in particular, but I love food. It was a very social thing for me. And I allowed myself to be really mindful when I was drinking it and when I was having the burger, and I was allowed myself to enjoy it and really focus on the fact that I was enjoying it. And I talk a lot about awareness and intention of your thoughts. So for me, when I am enjoying amazing food, I really ensure that my thoughts are targeted to how much I'm enjoying it, opposed to how it's going to affect my body or my disordered relationship with it.
I'm on your Instagram right now as well, just looking through pictures. And I really love that you post these unfiltered pictures of yourself, pictures that show a pimple, or, you know, you're not all dressed up like other influencers and whatnot post about. And I want to talk about Dive Through later on in the episode. But for those listening, you know, you went to college, you didn't, you know, you wanted to be a model, you didn't expect to ever become an influencer, or I would consider you an entrepreneur. But where did that shift happen when you started getting so much publicity and you ended up growing this ridiculously large following on social media?
So when I started in the fitness area, there, like you said at the beginning, people weren't exactly doing ebooks, and it wasn't exactly a thing like it is today. I always say, back in the old days of Instagram, it was much easier to build a following, but it was just a different type of game. So I definitely had that snowball effect with my following when I was in the fitness space, because I was sharing more the photos people want to see. I learned a really interesting thing, and I've actually, since switching away from fitness, I've lost more than 100,000 followers, because people don't, I know. And it's a forever thing. It's, that number is forever going down as I'm making that transition to making it clear to people that it's no longer about fitness. But I found that when I was building that follower, those followers, it was content that was kind of mind numbing. It wasn't challenging people. It wasn't genuinely inspiring people. It was almost like the following built because it was, we want to see those sexy photos and those like abs and things like that.
But you never posted, you know, kind of like nude pictures or anything too sexy. You were always very, I think, had a like, you know, very clean page.
Yeah, that was always intentional, and that was never the type of fitness person that I am. And I always say, like, it is a back and forth thing to really think about. Like, nudity and those sexy photos empower some individuals, and that is incredible. They do not empower me. I'm a very modest person in my personal life, so I definitely, when I see those photos, all the power to the women if that truly empowers them. But still, in that space, you're attracting a type of audience that wants to see those photos. And I feel like the audience, unfortunately, that want to see fitness and want to see body photos is actually much bigger in some cases than the audience that want to see real unfiltered photos.
I agree. So when you, over that period of time, began to lose that amount of following, what was that like, kind of stressful? I mean, I can't even imagine. I don't even have that many followers, but that would have kind of like pissed me off also, because that's frustrating. You've now created this incredible app that's really helping people, and now people are unfollowing you.
It's honestly, it's been like, when I went through the transition away from fitness, I was in a really emotionally fragile place, and I was almost, I needed to focus on myself, that the fault, like my Instagram and my page really took a backseat. And it wasn't until I actually felt really grounded in myself and connected with myself that I returned to my feed in full force, posting regularly. And that's when the followers really started to drop. So it was more the fact that I had that relationship with myself, the fact that I took the time to feel strong in myself, which I hadn't done previously. It really helped me navigate the waters of losing those followers. And at the end of the day, I've always known this, but then never enforced it, that my value and my worth as an individual isn't reliant on my followers. And this was honestly the ultimate test in that.
I bet. I mean, you do this full time though, correct? Or you have any other job?
No, I've been doing this full time for, is it 5 or 6 years now?
That's what I thought. But you don't do any sponsored posts, right?
No. So I do work very curatedly and very smallly with brands that really resonate with me. So when I was in this transition, initially I had sold the fitness books. And then when I transitioned out to that, I was like, okay, I need to give myself space as an entrepreneur to figure out what I'm doing. So in that time, I started to do brand partnerships. And that's what allowed me to build Dive Through and refocus and build something I felt really good about. And then so once Dive Through has come out and has been out since October 1st, it's allowed me to be like, okay, I have something that people can purchase. But then I'm also still doing those collaborations with brands that feel really genuine and authentic to me.
And also because you have such a devoted following and you have so many people who are interacting with you and whatnot on your posts, it's kind of like these people are looking up to you and would follow everything that you're doing.
I think definitely when it's genuine and real, I have noticed, yeah, people respond to when they know something is real, when it's coming from a good place. So it really did take me these past 2 years to figure out, okay, how do I want to show up in this feed? And I feel like I finally landed in an authentic and place that feels good.
Well, let me ask you your opinion on this. So I've noticed when I started talking about social media and mental health over like 2 years ago, nobody really out there was talking about it. And I've realized over the past, I want to say 6 to 8 months, that a lot of influencers or fashion bloggers or whatever, a lot of people are talking about social media and mental health and depression and anxiety. But I've noticed this surge in people talking about it to gain more of a following or be considered more authentic. But have you noticed that on social media at all? Because that's something I've noticed.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's like a bandwagon and it's being jumped on. And it's interesting, like vulnerability is one thing and it's beautiful to be able to like raw and open and share your experiences. But then there's also still a version of it that can be, I love the word curated because I think it so accurately explains what's going on in social media and really like showcases and highlights that it is not a real world and it is our best foot forward. And I definitely think there can be some bloggers that are jumping on that bandwagon. But at the end of the day, whether people perceive them as authentic or not, it's still a conversation and a movement, which I am so happy that it's being had.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the whole Me Too movement and women's rights and everything is phenomenal. But I do think it's a little bit disturbing sometimes when people think that saying they have anxiety or depression if they don't actually have it, because something about Instagram specifically is like people are looking up to you, right? So people are following your every move and are, you know, kind of comparing themselves and wanting to model their lives after you. So if you're talking about those issues and you've never dealt with them, it's like giving advice from, you know, to somebody and you're not a therapist. And things like anxiety and depression are very serious. Have you ever dealt with either of those?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because people are really confused because there is a mental illness and there is mental well-being, mental health. And we all have mental well-being and we all have mental health. But mental illness is a diagnosed condition. And I think there is a, when we're all kind of talking and we're all using these labels that aren't necessarily diagnosed labels, we definitely are taking away the power from those people that are experiencing those genuine health concerns. And I think also there needs to be a little bit more accreditation and credibility when it comes to this space. And people just need to be mindful that when they're talking about certain things and when they are explaining or talking about the experiences that they're having, that there might be some person that thinks, oh, okay, this person's having it. So, and they have a large following and now I'm experiencing this too. And it's almost like, it's kind of like how it could also go the same way that the thinness went, right? Like it could go where we're modeling it, we're modeling these bad behaviors because we see them popularized in not an authentic and genuine way.
I agree. And what I really like about you and was excited to have you on about is because I started my blog back in 2011 and you started Way of Gray in what year?
2013 at the beginning of the year.
So you started it just 2 years after I started mine. And so we both grew up in the industry, but without social media. And it's shifted so much in a right, in a good direction. But now also people who don't even do anything can get a million followers overnight for one viral picture or whatnot. I mean, how does that make you feel? Because I get so frustrated sometimes when I think about that. And having started back then before this became such a thing, and now everyone's like, they want to be an entrepreneur or a blogger. And I'm like, it's not that easy, you guys.
Yeah, I think there needs to be a dose of reality in those experiences that, like, this, it takes work. But the only, I try not to focus on the negative, genuinely. The only problem that I have is with the fake followers and these fake likes and this algorithm and things like that, that it's taking away the value that true influencers have. Yeah. And that these brands are, I feel genuinely bad for brands that are working with influencers with inflated following and inflated likes, because it is a business and these businesses aren't made of money and they're being kind of fooled by these influencers and it's giving us all a bad image, right? And I definitely, yeah, that's where I kind of get annoyed in that situation.
I agree. Somebody asked me the other day about, it was something about like brands or working with brands. And I said the same thing. I said, if I was a brand or a publicist, I would have no clue who to pay for what post. I would just throw my hands up in the air, right? Because it doesn't make any sense. And then you probably know this. I mean, sometimes you'll get so many likes and so many views on an Instagram story or whatnot. And then the next day it's like a quarter of that. And there's no even science behind it.
Yeah. This algorithm, forever my battle. And it's again, we're still like, the platform is amazing and I'm so grateful for the opportunity. It just is discouraging with this algorithm. Oh my gosh.
And it is discouraging in the sense too, that you do it full time like me. So like, this is your livelihood.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And yeah, just the space becoming saturated with the fake side it's hard. And to me, like when we do influencer stuff through Dive-Thru, and now I'm like, oh, it's good. We're from the other side, that we're able to like have a more of a ruthless system to make sure that these influencers are genuine and legit. And I think that kind of system definitely needs to be more available to huge brands so that they are not getting screwed.
Yeah, I have a few friends who work in PR and they have some technology or something that they can look at people who's they're following. But yeah, it doesn't really make any sense. But so tell us about Dive-Thru. How did you come up with this idea?
So the way that we explain what Dive-Thru is it's an introspection app that helps you answer life's questions. So you can Google the weather, but you can't Google, how do I feel about myself? Why am I feeling incredibly triggered? So Dive-Thru is a method that helps you understand and answer those questions for yourself. It's interesting we're talking about social media, because we are living in this age, in this space and time, where we're constantly looking outside of ourselves, whether that be to influencers or even to all of these different modalities of health, where we're going to these different experts, I'm doing air quotes, asking them about advice about our life and about ourselves. And while it's amazing and so needed for us to reach out for support, we're in a huge way devaluing ourselves. We're devaluing our own ability and our own internal tools to understand and navigate these experiences. So Dive-Thru is a tool that helps you do that for yourself. So we're not the ones answering these questions, you're answering them. So it does that by combining guided breathing, journaling, and self-reflection. And then another thing which we just talked about is this people that are legit in this space, and especially in mental health. So we have a team of psychologists and therapists that make our content and make what we call our dives to ensure that they're safe. So they've all gone through trauma safety to make sure that the wording and the languaging that we use in our dives are safe and actually helpful. So the way that it works, when you download the app, we have these dives. So you can go into the app and you can be like, okay, I want to work on my relationship with food. So we have different bundles and different offering on food, where over 14 days you can journal about the same topic. So it could be food and your feelings. So over 14 days you dive through and it gives you a different question every single day that you listen to this guided breathing, get in the proper space to properly journal, then you journal and then you reflect. So we have deep dives, which are dives over 14 days, or quick dives, which is a singular dive. So say you just had a fight with your partner, then we have a mad at your partner quick dive that you can do to help you better understand that experience. So it's just using journaling and that guided breathing and reflection to help you better understand yourself.
Wow, that's a lot right there. How long did you have this idea for before you managed to kind of implement it and the app, have the app come out and created?
Yeah, so the app itself, and that, so we call it, like, as much as Dive Through is an app, it's a method. So the method itself, I actually started intuitively turned to it when I had the panic attack on an airplane, which I widely talk about. That was the reason I switched away from fitness. So when I got home from this life-changing experience, I was in a really emotionally fragile place. So I was like, okay, I need to rebuild my life. I was even afraid to go outside. That's how extreme it was for me. So I turned to guided breathing exercises and journaling. And journaling was the one thing that really, really resonated with me, to be able to, so we say, dive through what you go through, to be able to, like, actually feel your feelings, actually confront what's going on. So when I started this journaling, I had no idea that I was building this approach, but I intuitively built it from my own absolute need from it. So that was about 2.5 years ago. And then we started development a year ago, and then it came out in October. So it was a year worth of development of the actual app itself. So it's been a long time coming.
It's a bit of a difference for you as well, because to go from being a fitness person where you're so involved in that world, and then you created an app, I bet there's a lot of trial and error there. I tried to create an app a long time ago, and it was like so much money and so much to put into it. And it's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was definitely a different process for me, and it was a learning thing. But like I said at the beginning, Google is your friend to figuring out stuff like this, not for figuring out how you feel about yourself. But I definitely spent a large part of these last 2.5 years just learning and learning and learning and trying to learn that world without doing the typical startup VC capital type of way. So it was definitely an experience and a whole new world, and it was very exciting to learn about, and it's still learning. It's a lot. It's finally out of my mind and in the world now. So now we have, like, a whole other thing of problems that we have to learn to navigate, but I think it's super exciting.
Well, it's all trial and error, and it's all, I like to say that, you know, kind of about the journey, and you're always learning something new every day. But for those people who are listening and might be interested in starting an app, so did you have to put a ton of money into it? Because I remember when I was trying to start an app, that financial investment was the biggest turnoff for me.
Yeah. So the best advice that I have to getting started is a platform called Upwork. So
yeah, that's what I,
yeah. Have you heard of it?
Sure.
Okay. I was going to spell it out loud, but that's not my strong suit. So Upwork is where I find all my freelancers. So the absolute best advice I have for someone getting started is admit that you are not a technical coder. You do not understand that language, and that is okay. So the best thing that I did, I found a middleman. So I honestly never talked to our developers at all. I had a person that was a project manager specializing in app development navigate and engage in all of the conversations related to tech. I essentially was like, I want it to look nice. And she was like, okay, here's all this, like, technical stuff that is genuinely another language. And through Upwork, she was the one that even created the job posting and found the people and did all of that heavy lifting in a world that, again, I don't speak the language. Code is another language. And finding someone to navigate those ropes for you is my number one piece of advice if you want to start an app.
Love that, because code, I found that too. It feels like a completely different language. But as an entrepreneur, it can be so intriguing to try and take on so many different things and projects. But you're right. I mean, you have to give the job duty sometimes to somebody else in return to get more out of it. But how big is your team? So is it just you, or do you have anyone who works with you on Dive Through?
Yeah, so we have, it's all freelance based. So we have a team of about 10 to 12 freelancers, but then we have a development team, which they're like still outsourced. So I think there is a team of like 10 of them that have worked on it, but like handing on and off. But yeah, we have a team of 10 to 12 people helping me to the day to day, from our partnerships to our media to our project management to our assistant and things like that. And it's all done through Upwork.
And you're only 24, so that has to be a lot of responsibility for a 24-year-old.
Yeah, I definitely say, and I'm not sure. I feel like you could feel the same way. And it's a hard thing for people to kind of recognize. I am not a CEO and I do not plan to be one as soon as I don't have to be. And I think that's an important realization for a lot of creative entrepreneurs. I love creative direction. I love branding. I love writing. I love my personal brand. But when it comes to Dive Through, I'm really looking forward to the time when I can bring on a CEO and I don't have to manage people, because it's not my strength at all.
That's so funny. I'm the opposite. That is my strength. But
oh, wow.
Anyone, okay. I mean, anyone would consider you to be the CEO.
Yeah. So obviously I am right now and I'm kind of like acting CEO, but I'm counting down the days until that doesn't have to be, because I love the team environment and I love having my team, but it's not my strength. And I have to recognize what I'm good at, and that's brand building and that's writing, and it's not the day-to-day operational stuff. And I think it's an interesting conversation to have and to recognize in yourself that where your strengths lie.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm like the whole Instagram thing to me, I feel like that's my biggest weakness, but I'm good at being CEO. So it's every entrepreneur is different. But is there something that people might not know about being an influencer, having the kind of presence that you have online?
I would say, and even influencers honestly don't understand this, but it's a lot of responsibility. And I take that, you have to take that responsibility incredibly serious, and not to get into political conversations, but when you're an influencer, you have an influence and you have a privilege that you're allowed to engage in those conversations and spread awareness. And I think it's a responsibility and you have to do it. And I think people are so conscious of not pissing people off, but I don't think that's helpful, and it's not helpful in the time and the space that we're living in. And I think, yeah, people don't realize the responsibility that they have and that influence and privilege that they have to be able to spread an important message.
I agree. And that's why I get so frustrated sometimes with people who have millions of followers. And I'm like, I'm working my ass off and have been, and you know, I don't even have a million followers. And then whoever down the block who's promoting just shitty stuff. I mean, I don't know if you followed the whole Logan Paul thing when he posted that suicide video.
No, I didn't. I think I saw like after the fact, but not knowing his channel at all.
Yeah. And, you know, he has so many followers, and people ask me, you know, why do you think that he did that? Why would he post a video of somebody who had killed themselves and make fun of it? And I said, because his true colors showed. Just because you have millions of followers doesn't mean that you know the power you have, or you have the interest in using your power to change the world.
Absolutely.
That's what most people get wrong about the influencer world. But do you have any like certain brands you like the most, or how do you go about any brand partnerships? Because it's changed a lot, finding brands and working with brands since 2013, 2014.
Yeah, so I am really fortunate. I have an incredible brand manager. So she navigates all of those conversations for me. And we just really, I'm like, these are the products I use in my everyday life. Let's see if they want to work together. So really ensuring that it's a genuine fit and making sure that it's a genuine product too, like a really quality product, which is not too hard to determine if that's the case. And just ensuring when you're engaging in those conversations with brands that you are staying true to your messaging. We definitely run into some problems with brands and companies not understanding how to work with influencers. And there is that kind of like educational piece, because there are a lot of brands that are doing it for the first time. And we have to be like, the reason you're trusting influencers is because we know our audience and we want to genuinely and authentically share. And that's something that like, stay true to that within a brand and engaging in those conversations. Don't do something crappy that you don't believe in, and make sure that holding to your brand values.
Yeah, and staying really authentic with yourself and your messaging too.
Absolutely.
So what would your advice be for anyone who's listening and might have, you know, 500 followers or 1,000 followers, and is really passionate about making their side hustle, which is a, you know, their blog or their Instagram page, into their full-time job? What would your advice be?
So definitely say, just keep on sharing, keep on reaching out to people and asking, be like, okay, I wrote this blog post to your friends and family. I would love if you would share. There's a book called, I believe it's called Perennial Seller by Ryan Holiday. I believe. And he just talks about just like being genuine in whatever you're doing and just keep on sharing it. Keep on trying to find people to, if you're a product, engaging with your product or engaging with your blog, and just genuinely share it. And I do believe that the people will come.
How much of turning your side hustle into your full-time job, like you and I both kind of have, how much of it is luck and how much of it is hard work?
I think there is a genuine luck and privilege to the ability to grow something, but I also think it's keeping at it. That's the hardest thing that I have when people come to me for advice. I'm like, come to me in 6 months. If you're still at it, then you're onto something, because a lot of people just give up. And of course you're not going to succeed, or of course your side hustle isn't going to work if you just don't stay with it. So stay with what you're doing and it will work. I believe strongly.
I agree. And that's funny you say that, because that's the same thing that I tell people is, you know, come back to me and tell me how it's going. And 99% of the time, nobody comes back. And I just assume, you know, whoever's emailed me or all the people that they never brought their ideas to life. And I always have a hard time understanding why it's so difficult for people to be so passionate about something, but so, I don't know, do you think they're afraid of rejection, or what are they so afraid of for kind of making the first step to starting something?
Honestly, I think it comes down to you either want it or you don't, and it's okay to not want it. I think that's not talked about. I think everyone turns to social media and thinks they have to do that. I have to do this blog, but genuinely, for the right reasons, they don't want to. They want the popularity. They don't want to spread the message. And I think people need to be more real with themselves if it's something they actually want. Because I feel people, of course, it's not going to work if you're at it for the wrong reasons. And people need to bring a little more self-awareness, which I'm all about, into their passions and into what they're trying to accomplish. Because you know what? If you don't want to start a podcast, but you keep on saying, like, if you say you want to do a podcast, but then you never do, ask yourself if you actually want to do it. And if the answer is yes, then do it. But if the answer is kind of like, well, blah, 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 then don't do it. And that's totally okay.
When I first started Way of Gray, your booklet initially, back, you know, years ago, I was making really not a lot of money for my site. And I bet you probably hadn't even figured out the business perspective. This is like 4 or 5 years ago, the business perspective behind this. So you and I obviously went into these missions and these companies without expecting a return. Like, I started my website never expecting to get money or do this full time. And I assume it was quite similar for you.
Yeah, I think just be genuine about something. Like, take, I guess, a good way, and obviously we all need to make money, I'm not discrediting that, but the thing you're doing now, would you do it if you weren't getting paid? That's a really important question to be asked. And honestly, when, like, reflecting back on fitness, if I wasn't getting paid, I wouldn't have done it, because it wasn't something I was genuinely, like, authentically engaged with. Whereas with Dive Through, to me, I just want it to be like, be something and to like be this like genuine shift in society that, like, if I wasn't getting paid for it, which we're not right now, because there's obviously it's a startup, I would keep on doing it. So if what you're sharing, if you would do it without getting money or getting paid, awesome, keep on doing it. But if your genuine drive is only for money, because money is great, we're all meant to make money, but if it's only about the money, you're not in it for the right reasons.
And I say that if you're in it for that reason, that's the number one reason you're probably not seeing results, is because you're in it for the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah, I think people just need that dose of reality and that dose of reflection to really get clear on their motives and where they're wanting to go and why.
As a successful entrepreneur and influencer, what is your idea of happiness?
So I read a book recently, and I, for the life of me, can't remember it, about redefining what success means and redefining it for it being something internal instead of something external. And that changed my life. And within this relating to happiness, my idea of happiness is creativity, actually being able to be creative, because that's a genuine value of mine and a genuine indicator of success, is that when I'm being creative and when I'm having a creative outlet, whether it be creating an app or creating or writing a book or having a podcast, when I am being creative, I'm my most happiest self. So I think the redefining and defining what success means and looks like for you as an internal value is a really great place to start for when you're wanting to find out what that looks like for you and what happiness is for you.
When you're not working, which goes along with the same thing about, you know, about happiness, is there anything you do to bring yourself kind of back down to earth, or that you do when you're like, I'm too stressed out and I just need all of this to go away?
Yeah. So I have like my personal dive through practice morning and night. So that's like kind of a way I start my day, and then the way I like finish my day and come back into myself. But my husband and I spend a lot of time together, like on the couch watching TV and movies, because I actually love it. Like, I've had my work day and I love TV. I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It like calms my soul. So my couch, my husband, and our two dogs is what I do to ground and calm down and come back into myself.
Wow. So you're married and you're 24.
So it's so fun. I got married at 23. And honestly, I'm angry that I wasn't married at 21. All I've ever wanted was to be married, and not to like be a wife and be like a wifely duty, because that's not the dynamic that we have whatsoever. But like, I am mad that I was not married at 21.
Why?
I don't know. It was always something I wanted. I have no idea. And like my partner and like Riley and I, it was day one. It was actually the day that we, like the first time we were having our first date, that day before we had our first date, I turned to like, I was doing a photo shoot. I turned to my photographer and I said, I'm having a first date with my husband. He's going to be my husband. And we'd only been talking for 2 days. So I like knew immediately with him that night. He like told his mom that I was the one, and we like both knew, and we were like married from day one. But then we were together for 3 years and we got married.
So. Are you religious, or you just really wanted to get married?
I know. No, I'm not at all. And it's not about kids whatsoever. I just had always wanted to be married. Like literally when I was 5 years old, I said I wanted to be married young. So,
wow. How did you guys meet?
So, I had just gotten out of a long-term relationship at like seriously a month. And then Riley, my husband, he is from this. So I live in Edmonton, Alberta, but then I'm actually from St. Albert. So it's like a little town outside of Edmonton. And so I grew up there, and I have two older sisters. So Riley actually had known my sisters for about a decade. And we were going out for my oldest sister's bachelorette party. And Riley is like manages hospitality. So he was like managing the bar, and we just ended up like, we went to his bar. He had like, my sisters had called him before to like get us a limo and everything, and that was a Saturday night. And then we ended up just talking like at the bar or whatever, and then I added him on Facebook the next day. Then we talked the Sunday, we talked the Monday, and we had that first date on the Tuesday. So like literally within 3 days I was like, this is my husband.
That's insane. Oh my gosh, I don't want to get married right now, but I wish I could like meet somebody that seems that cool. So is he an entrepreneur or no?
So he actually like dabbled in entrepreneurship, and then got burned in like a really good way. So it was a really good lesson for him. So he had like started a studio for something here, and then it didn't work out. But right now, so he runs restaurants. So people have like not a good idea about hospitality. And like, I didn't initially, I was like, oh, it's just hospitality. Like, you're just a server, but they run businesses, right? So he manages, bars and restaurants in the city, but then we're always kind of talking about a way for him to be remote. So that's definitely our next step, for him to have something online that I can also support, so that we can be more flexible, and we want to live in Mexico for half of the year. So we're working on that right now, because he definitely has that entrepreneurial operational side, whereas I have the creative side. So we definitely are like a match made in heaven if we were to go into business together. But
oh my God, the dream. Yeah, I was gonna say, you guys really should go into business together. But I don't know, I've always been kind of overwhelmed with the idea of like, if I ever went into business with my I don't have a boyfriend, but if I had gone into business with them, I don't know, I feel like it would change the dynamic.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. So when I was like in the fitness and I was having like the success I had with fitness, and then when I stepped away from it, it was a complete lifestyle change for me, business-wise and financially. So it was actually right when we started dating. So it was like a good thing that I was like, oh, awesome, he's in it for the right reasons. We have like this really great dynamic, and it was like really, really good for us. And honestly, like for our vows, or like for our like wedding ceremony, we did something super intimate. So it was only just with our parents and our siblings and their significant others. But what we like had this person that was marrying us write these like really custom, this really custom wedding. And the whole thing, like, she asked us a bunch of questions about like what marriage means to you and la la la. And to us, because we both are like, we are partners. Like, we're not man and wife or even wife and husband. Like, we are partners in this relationship. And that, like, and we're genuinely best friends, but that partnership, I feel like, is why we're able to kind of talk about doing some business stuff together, because, and we also bring obviously the different sides to the business world together.
Wow. I did not know that about you. I figured you were married from your profile, but I didn't know that you were so like passionate about it. I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's funny. Like the whole, we have like a very like good idea of marriage and like a really low key and like healthy idea of marriage. And I think obviously we're still in that honeymoon phase, but honestly, not even, because nothing changed after we got married. Like it was, we had the best
time. It's just a piece of paper.
Right. So it's not like we're like in this la la land. I think when you get married for the right reasons, and I would hope people feel the same way as I do.
Kind of like love at first sight. You must get that question a lot though. Do you like, are you religious? I bet.
Yeah. And you know, it, like, it's funny because I think that's more when like the kids get involved with it. And I definitely like have my own like spirituality practice and all of that stuff. But yeah, I know that that is definitely the situation that happens with the more religious people, which is wonderful and great. But yeah, like even that, like with kids, like definitely not on our radar. And that's all like, I'm way too young, or if they'll happen at all. So it's like, normally people are going to be like, oh, so now kids. And it's like, oh, that's a whole
You're
other.
Like, no, other not story. Yet. Not yet. You're just really in love. So love at first sight. So do you meditate, or what do you do that's like a spiritual?
So I actually subscribe, I don't know the right word for that, to, it's called The Course in Miracles. So it's just basically, it's not a religion, but it's just a belief system. And it's, for me, like to me, everything's about love, love with a capital L. And that's just what me, like I do my journaling and I make sure everything that I'm doing is in alignment with how am I serving the world in a way that aligns with love and aligns with caring for others and having like choosing love over fear. So that's not a religion, but it's definitely what I believe and have faith in for sure.
That's amazing. Well, Sophie, you are quite an inspiration and so cool how you've managed to, number one, make this into your full-time career from such a genuine place. And more importantly, how you've started this new chapter. Where do you want Dive Through to be in the next 5 or 10 years?
So I think I'm pushing for 50 million downloads. That's my ultimate goal. 50 million people being able to actually feel their feelings and connect with themselves is the ultimate goal. We want to help people live life connected. So 50 million, we're not taking on any small goals here.
That's quite a lot of downloads.
One day we'll get there.
But that's over also like a period of time. I asked like 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, no, honestly, I definitely think that like when you look at that space, like there, well, I know you interviewed Headspace, like they're at 30 million, right? And they've been around for 5 years. So,
well, I have no doubt you're going to get there. You already have so many fans and people who really aspire to be like you. And I truly, truly respect it. So I wish you the best of luck. And I think that you've always done amazing things. And if you ever want to start another workout booklet, I will be the first to buy.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. And again, when I reached out, I was fangirling over you because you truly are creating waves. And it's so amazing to see young women doing such amazing things. So thank you for existing. I'm thanking you on behalf of your listeners.
Oh my God. So you are adorable. Literally, you're so cute. If I'm ever in Canada, you got to like show me. I don't know what type of food people eat in Canada. Like, do you have all of the Instagram food there?
We're just like Americans, except we're kind of nicer.
Everyone in Canada is so much nicer, but I've only gone twice, I think. But do you ever come to LA?
I do, definitely. Yeah. So that is kind of like my next trip. I'm taking some time off of traveling right now as I figure out my own life. But no, I will definitely hit you up next time I'm in LA.
Yeah, you have to. And maybe even I could see us speaking at a conference or something together one day. So those of you who are listening out there, hopefully we'll be in the same city quite soon. But Sophie, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Also tell us where we can find you on social media.
So you can find me under Sophie Gray on Instagram or Dive Through or at SophieThinksThoughts.com.
That's amazing. Well, that's a wrap, you guys. Episode 47, I think. I've got somebody special coming up for episode 50, so make sure to stay tuned. And again, follow us on social media at This Is Life Podcast. And let me know who you want to see next time. See you guys next week. Bye.